Our reading today is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Paul writes, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds to the power of your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So how do you make the most of your time? If you Google that, making the most of your time, you can find almost countless articles about time management, planning, and productivity. That kind of search on the web really reveals how busy so many people are these days. Overworked, overscheduled. The same is true for kids and teens and college students. Anyone can fall into this trap of busyness and trying to cram too much into too little time. Sometimes I think the pandemic has even made this worse because we're on screens, we're at home. We have this idea that we can even do more. So some of the best tips for how to make the most of your day were things like get plenty of sleep, wake up early. Do those two things go together? Others were smile, and my personal favorite, laugh. Focus, make plans, write lists that you will use. Prioritize what's important versus what's urgent. Say no, delegate, slow down and think. Think of the energy you have, not just the time you have. Take breaks, exercise, eat well, show love. These were just a few of the tips and tricks. I also read that busyness is not the same as productivity. Some of the most productive people are actually less busy, and some of the busiest people are actually the least productive. Think about that. The truth is we can become busy with almost anything, right? Henry David Thoreau once said, "It's not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about? What are we busy doing these days?" Listen to this. In Greek, when Paul says making the most of the time, the word for making the most is actually redeeming. Redeeming the time. That's helpful because redeeming time means making the most of it, making it better, regaining possession. Redeem also suggests God's involvement. We all know that the things we do today are gone tomorrow. We may have the fruits of our labors later, but we cannot get back any of today after today. So we need to redeem our time today, don't we? But when Paul says redeem the time because the days are evil, what's he saying there? Well, if we go back to the Greek again, the word for evil, paneros, can mean evil as in bad. It can also mean full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pain, and trouble. Now, Paul, of all people, knew about hardships and pain. He knew that the days are evil in that respect, but he also knew who is with us in that pain, that God never leaves us alone. Which leads us to this special twist in Ephesians 5. It seems like this is just a list of things we should be doing. He says, be careful, make the most of your time, be wise, don't be foolish, don't get drunk, praise and thank God. But is that all this is, just another list of to-dos? Notice what he says in verse 17. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing and make melody and give thanks. He's saying two important things there. Understand the will of God and be filled with the Spirit. Both of those things involve something truly difficult and profound. They both involve surrender. To understand the will of God, we have to give up just wanting our way and our will. To be filled with the Spirit, we have to open up our hearts and lives to the Holy Spirit. What if Paul is doing much more than just saying, don't get drunk and do all this good stuff? What if beneath it all, he's telling us something far more powerful? Surrender. Give up control to God. Redeem your time that way. That's not easy, is it? To surrender our time? I mean, don't we try so hard to control all of our time, even though paradoxically it feels out of control much of the time? What if we were to give that control of each day to God? What if we opened our calendars and asked, God, what do you want me to do today? What would you have me do this week, this month? What if that's the key to finding sanity in our days? I mean, aren't we the reason that our time can get out of control? Aren't we the ones who overschedule, overcommit, don't delegate, procrastinate? What if we turned our focus to asking God, what do you want me to do with my time? I just received something called the Monk Manual that my spiritual director told me about. It's a fascinating 90-day planner, journal style, that asks these questions as you move throughout your day, week, and month. I'm looking forward to trying it. The whole premise is that it's not about doing more in life. It's about doing what really matters. You know, some of the most amazing saints are men and women who would get up early in the morning and spend hours in prayer. People like Martin Luther, Mother Teresa, Susanna Wesley, Charles Wesley. Now, before you tune me out because you don't have time like they did to get up earlier and pray, hold on a minute. I believe God meets us exactly where we are. Some of us are morning people who can meet with God then. Some of us do better in the evening. Some of us can spend hours reading. Others need to spend hours outdoors in prayer and meditation. We have to find what works for us. But we can't just say, my life is too busy for all of that. We all have life happening to us. We all have something stressful going on right now. We all have heartache and pain and hardship. No one has the market cornered on stressful living. Just take the time to really listen to someone else and you'll see. The stress is just different in different seasons of life. The season of raising small children is different from being an empty nester or retired. Each season has challenges and things that can overfill your day. But we all have the same 1,440 minutes in each day, and God knows exactly how much time we have and what we need to get done. What we actually need to get done, not what we want to do or not do. So what if we looked more to the one who could help us make the most of our time? Have you ever found that after just pushing and pushing yourself to do too many things in too little time, that when you gave up and took a break to daydream or walk outside, to do a little woodworking or crafting or reading, that suddenly when you returned, you were so much more productive? Oh, I find this to be true. It's a huge lifesaver to me while writing sermons to just take a break like that. What happens to you when you spend time with God like that? What happens when you stop and just sit quietly? What does it do for your day? You know, when Jesus started his ministry, he started preaching about a new kingdom, a new way of living and loving. And his new way didn't always make sense, possibly because he wasn't operating on human power. His miracles and healings and teachings, it was all done through the power of his heavenly Father. It's why he removed himself so frequently from the crowds to be alone and pray, to spend time with God. Jesus is the focus of the Gospels, but it is more than Jesus at work. It is God, the triune God. It is Jesus relying upon his Father God. It is Jesus and the Spirit. If Jesus ordered his life and ministry in full surrender to God, why would we not strive to do the same? Jesus said this very simply in Matthew 6:33 when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know when he said that? After he told us to not worry about anything. When we become members of the church, we are asked a simple question. Who is your Lord and Savior? If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, if we want to follow him and become more like him, why would we not follow his example of time management? Why would we not redeem our days as he did his, with prayer, with surrender to God's will and not our own? All of that does take time, but somehow Jesus did it. And he was able to teach and heal and preach and still make time to be alone with God. And he was working 24/7, 365 days a year with literally thousands of people depending on him all the time. Jesus was like the CEO of needy people. If he needed God's help, if he surrendered his life to God's will, why do we think we can survive without time with God? Why do we think we can have peace or joy or fulfillment without surrendering our lives to God? Paul isn't just giving us a list of things to do today. Paul is giving us a way of living. Seek the will of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, not with anything else that numbs you. Be filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, give up control of your life and surrender it to God. You know, people in 12-step programs, they know this method. They admit that they are powerless and they need the help of a higher power. When do we sit down and decide the same thing? When do we admit that we feel powerless over our time and we need the help of God to find a better life? If we read all of Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, thinking it's just a to-do list, the last few verses sound like just, well, extra work. Paul says, sing psalms and hymns, make melody in your heart, give thanks to God at all times. But this is not a to-do list, right? This is a way of living. So what if the singing and praising and thanking God is all a result of having surrendered control to God, of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Doesn't that make more sense? The joy of being filled with God, that just seeps out of our hearts. Some people might say it has to come out in music and singing and worship, in praise and thanksgiving, because when we are filled with joy, it overflows. Now, sometimes we are a little reserved in our expressions of praise and thanksgiving and joy and worship. But aren't there times when all of us are moved by the music? When we are overwhelmed by God's presence in this place? When we are full of gratitude for what God has done and who God is? Isn't worship the best place to express that? You know, there are 100 different ways to praise and thank God and make melody in our hearts. How do you do that? I once read about a worship service full of some very overt praise and thanksgiving in the Congo. Dr. Rick Dietrich says that his friend Gerald Stevens went and he had never seen so much unmitigated joy during worship. Gerald said perhaps the most joyous times were the offering times, because worshipers would come forward dancing and singing as they put their money in the box at the front of the sanctuary. "I most enjoy," he said, "watching the older men dance to the front, chuck their money in the box, and then dance back to their seats." Can you imagine if one of our members would come forward with his or her offering like that? Can you imagine? Well, why not? We can praise and thank God any way we want. When the result of our surrender is joy, that can flow out of our hearts in so many different ways. And don't we need that joy so much right now in the middle of this pandemic? Friends, there is a lot of good news today. There's a lot to think about, to praise God about. The first is that we don't have to manage all of our time alone. We can ask God for help. We can go to God in prayer. We can surrender. We can rely upon God to help us order our time. And that's how we redeem it. That's how we make the most of our days. And the result is joy and praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. Who doesn't want that? For all of this, God's people can say together, Amen.